baby back door, baby fall off, sipping codeine cause I gotta kill a cough. Let me sit sideways in the big bins. Oh, you boys, they my brothers, they my friends.
There's not one guy, one person in the history of this program that's bigger than the program.
Mayfield on play action.
You're listening to Brandon Drum and Parker Thune. This is the OU Insider Under the Visor podcast.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to another OU Insider Under the Visor Sooners podcast powered by Riverwind Casino. Obviously, this is a big podcast. Jim Knowles heading to Penn State. There was a big junior day. We're going to talk about some of the recruits that we talked with post their visits. Lots of buzz from that. And where does OU go from here as far as DC, linebacker position, all that? And was it a big loss outside of the optics? We'll touch into all that on this episode. But first, we got some bills to pay.
We do, and shout out to Riverwind Casino for being the presenting sponsor of the OU Insider Under the Visor podcast today and every day. And Sooner fans, you deserve the ultimate gaming experience. Riverwind Casino has been the Metro's premier gaming destination for over 18 years. With over 2,800 electronic games, table games, bars and dining options, plus the best live music in the Metro, it's no surprise that Riverwind is always a good time. Now, before we get a word in for some of our other sponsors as well, probably should just go ahead and re-acknowledge it because I know people are going to be talking in the YouTube comments about it. It got second life on social media yesterday, and I think most everyone understands the reality, but there's a very vocal minority that has continued to, well, just continue to talk about it, and dog on a bone won't let it go. So, yeah, look, we pre-recorded a reaction video in the event that Oklahoma hired Jim Knowles. There was a mistake made on the back end of our YouTube management, our YouTube channel, I suppose, the management side, the back end. And that video was briefly made public. A few people saw it. That quickly proliferated. We took it down very quickly. Thankfully, I had people watching out that sent me a text and let me know, hey, that video went public. I don't think it was supposed to. So it came down very, very quickly. But even so, there were people that saw it. There are screenshots that have been all over social media of the video itself. And look, folks, again, I think most everyone understands what happened. For those that don't, it's something we do in the industry. We pre-record these videos for big news if and when it drops, just so that we can have something ready. Say we're preoccupied out grocery shopping or whatever the case may be. Obviously, we wish this had not happened. Those videos cannot see the light of day until or unless the news becomes official. And to this point, this had never happened before. It's unfortunate that it did happen, period. And certainly with such a piece of news as big as this one. But it's been a rough few days dealing with the fallout from that. And some of the popular reactions we've gotten, the one that's weird to me is you guys leaked that video on purpose. No, we didn't. It's a terrible look. And we get that. We get that it's a terrible look. There's absolutely no reason to have, quote unquote, leaked that video intentionally. We did not. We wish it had not seen the light of day. It has now. Stuff happens, crap happens in this industry and every industry. Ultimately, what's done is done. All you can do is keep plugging away, keep moving forward, and leave the past in the past. So that's what we're going to make an effort to do. I also want to add that despite the video, I do think our subscribers at OUinsider.com were pretty well informed on the whole Knowles saga. They understood that nothing was ever done. There was only one outlet, and I hesitate to even call it an outlet because it's just a serial grifter that reported that the Knowles deal was done. Everybody else, I think, was kind of on the same page, which is that, yeah, there's optimism, even confidence on the OU side that this thing will get done with Knowles. But it's a long, long way from done, and nobody wants to get too over their skis just because of the significance of all of this and how much money is involved with the Knowles deal. So obviously, Jim Knowles did not come to OU. It was an especially bad look in the aftermath because I think that video is more quickly forgotten. It will be forgotten in time, one way or another, but it's more quickly forgotten if Knowles had been hired by Oklahoma. Now that he hasn't and he's headed to Penn State, no doubt we'll deal with the fallout for a few days. Hopefully, from there, this thing gets buried in the news cycle, as most things do, because there are things that happen to all of us that we would like to forget. This is one of those things. We move on accordingly. So, with that, we're going to dig into the Knowles saga a little bit further. And as Brandon mentioned, we'll talk about OU's Junior Day over the weekend, an event that came out with very positive returns for the
Yeah,
Sooners,
it's
returns
true.
that were somewhat buried because of all of the Knowles news. But before we do so, quick word for a few of our sponsors, starting with Rocket Money. Now, folks, if you have not downloaded the Rocket Money app, cannot recommend it highly enough. I have. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that helps find and cancel your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so you can grow your savings. Keeps track of every dollar you spend, where dollars are going, whether on a one-time basis or on a return or a recurring basis, excuse me. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of $500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. So cancel your unwanted subscriptions and reach your financial goals faster with Rocket Money. Go to rocketmoney.com/game on today. That's rocketmoney.com/game on, rocketmoney.com/game on. Also, shout out to Joy Mode, which we have plugged on this podcast before. I think it's known by most folks, most men, as a product that gives you a better intimate experience. But that's not just what it's about. Daily use supports healthier blood vessels, boosts heart health, and enhances your athletic performance. Super easy to use. You just mix a pack with water and feel the effects within 45 minutes. Take control with Joy Mode. Get a boost anytime, anywhere. Never miss a beat. It features just four simple, proven ingredients. Unlike prescription options that involve doctor visits and managing refills, Joy Mode provides a straightforward, effective solution. Join up to 200,000 men who trust Joy Mode to boost their performance without the side effects. So if you're looking to take your game to the next level, visit tryjoymode.com and use code OUINSIDER at checkout for 20% off single purchases and 30% off subscription orders. That's TryJoyMode.com and use code OUINSIDER for 20% off single purchases and 30% off subscription orders. Finally, Mando. Folks, if you have not become acquainted with Mando whole body deodorant, well, it was created by a doctor who saw firsthand how normal BO was being misdiagnosed and mistreated. Mando is clinically proven to block odor all day and control odor for up to 72 hours. And we're not just talking deodorant here. There's a whole line of Mando products, all of which Brandon and I use on a regular basis. And you can try out Mando's starter pack to get acquainted with the brand and all of the great things that it can do for you. Perfect for new customers. It comes with a solid stick deodorant, cream tube deodorant, two free products of your choice, like mini body wash and deodorant wipes, and free shipping. And as a special offer for listeners, new customers get $5 off a starter pack with our exclusive code. That equates to over 40% off your starter pack when you use code INSIDER at shopmando.com, shopmando.com. Please support our show and tell them we sent you. And with that, Brandon, Oklahoma's still in search of a defensive coordinator.
Yeah. Are they though? I mean, like
Well, okay.
I'm gonna quote Toby Rowland from last night, and it's kind of what we've echoed. I want to let's talk about the Knowles things first. I think that's probably the right thing to do. If you were on OU Insider Friday, we talked, or I put on there, hey man, that dude has cut off all communications to everybody. Him and his agent went blank on everybody. And that was what, Friday, like at 7 o'clock at night. Like I got that and kind of put it up. And that was because it was weird, right? Like, and I even put on there, look, it causes me some pause, right? Like it just did at that point. And you and I talked a couple of days, and you were convincing me a little bit, like, hey, it's not done. Like, look how long it drags out. Like, and you were right. Like, it was Oklahoma, Penn State all the way up to the very end. I started getting more and more skeptical. But then Sunday, it felt like things were coming to an end. Penn State had the momentum, but when I talked to somebody or multiple people within the Switzer Center, they were just, you know, like, we're just waiting on his decision. Like, the price that was thrown out there to him was upwards of $3+ million. So, mm-hmm. I mean, they felt like they had a shot.
Well, and given the reality that everything had kind of been quiet since Friday, which, by the way, like, this is exactly why we pre-record videos. We try not to leak them ahead of time, but this is exactly why we pre-record videos, is because, you know, Sunday was when Ohio State's championship parade was, and everybody kind of figured going into the weekend, okay, you don't hear anything before then. That parade will come around, Jim Knowles will be there, he'll savor his last few moments with Ohio State, and then maybe Monday you have a decision. Yeah, no, the news dropped during the championship parade.
Yeah.
So, boom, there, it's over. He's going to Penn State. So, it all was a very abrupt end to what had felt like a really, really long-running saga at that point. It had been 6 days since the season ended for Ohio State, and the feeling was from the jump, okay, he's not staying at Ohio State. It's a foregone conclusion that he is moving on. Who is he moving on to? Is it Oklahoma? Is it Penn State? Is it maybe Notre Dame, who expressed interest? And I think that the general consensus was always that, okay, Oklahoma's going to be best positioned here because they're willing to pay a lot of money. They need a defensive coordinator. And you have the fiance component,
which seemed to be a little bit more overblown probably than people, and probably us included, probably felt, you know, I don't know if that really played into it as much as we all thought it did. I'm interested to see, like, well, actually, I'll go ahead and say it. After the news broke yesterday, I made a few phone calls, like, hey, like, and nobody really knows until Noel. So I just want to put this out. This is people's opinion, by the way. So, granted, it's an OU-centric opinion. So it was more or less, he went to an offensive-minded guy, which, if you're a defensive coordinator, you get more leeway when you go coach for an offensive-minded guy, which kind of contradicts things because of what we heard about the Ryan Day situation and his, you know, his closeness with Larry Johnson and the butting of the heads that we kept hearing about there, which again was, that's conjecture. That's opinion. That's, nothing's ever publicly been said that or confirmed or anything like that. That's just, you know, hearsay, what we hear when you hear from a lot of people, from reliable people, it tends to become truth at some point. And multiple outlets were putting that out there, right? That there was butting of heads there or whatever. Now, obviously today they've come out and said that he tried to renegotiate with Ohio State, and I guess they kept undercutting him, and that's where the rift grew bigger. So, and Oklahoma and Penn State became more players in that. But yeah, I just, at the end of the day, it just made sense for Penn State. To me, and that came from a couple of OU people. Like, when you coach under Brent Venables, the defensive guru, and even if you're a defensive guru, you always feel like somebody's going to be second-guessing you. Now, is that truly the case? We don't know. Like, it didn't happen, so he'll never know if that was truly going to be the case. But that's kind of the opinion. That's kind of what he was probably told by a couple of people as well. And what made the decision a little bit easier for the Penn State. Plus, he's going home. I think that probably gets underplayed more than anything else. The fact that he's from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. He grew up around the Penn State program, following the Penn State program. I've lived up in that region for 6 years. Penn State is everything up there when it comes to college football. So it, again, makes sense. And then when you find out that the fiance was going to go wherever he goes because his her kids are graduating and they're going to go off and do what they want to do, she's going to do what she's going to do. There you have it. I mean, like, it just made a lot of sense, Parker, at the end of the day for Penn State. I know you fans don't want to hear that, but it just did, unfortunately. Now, talent-wise, I would put OU's defensive talent up against anybody in the country right now.
As would I.
That was the head-scratcher of it all. Penn State's losing dudes to the first round and all that, and OU's getting all their big NFL dudes back and adding some. So it's just, that was the weird part about it.
Well, and I wonder if there were, and I don't wonder, I imagine there absolutely were conversations that ensued throughout the negotiation process between Knowles and Oklahoma and Knowles and Penn State about how much NIL was on the table for his unit and how much they could go and spend on talent acquisition. I wonder if that maybe played into things as well. But ultimately, I think what OU fans are going to look at the whole situation and perhaps take umbrage with is the reality that the reported number that came out in that Football Scoop story on Thursday evening was north of the final number that Penn State got Jim Knowles for. Because the number reported by Football Scoop was 3.2. They got him at an average annual value of 3.1.
Yeah, that's called agents.
And I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I'm just saying this is how it's going to be. There's going to be a continued perception among the OU fan base that the administration is not willing to go spend the big bucks to field an elite football team. Again, not saying that's fair or unfair, just saying that's how a lot of people seem to view it right now. And I don't think everything unfolding with Knowles the way it did, and especially not the final numbers on the contract, are going to do anything to help that perception.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, Josie, he threw out money this time. Like, the OU was trying to make this work, but, you know, Knowles went with what he felt was most comfortable in the end as far as a coach goes. Like I said, it sucks optically for OU. It does.
And that's the worst part, I think, is the optics. Because, again, that kind of goes back to what I just mentioned. Regardless of whether it's your own fan base or whether it's the rest of the college football world, it certainly does not aid in the public belief, regardless of how widespread it actually is, but you see and hear people talking about it, the belief that Oklahoma is not what it once was and headed in the wrong direction if it wants to be what it once was in college football, actively slipping from its foothold as one of the top programs in college football. Because, man, it really feels like you've taken some haymakers as of late. And this is a haymaker, man. To have Jim Knowles in your sights for almost a month, for all that buzz, all that noise to be there, for everybody to know that Oklahoma is right there in the thick of this, to hire away the best defensive coordinator in college football from the defending national champion, Ohio State Buckeyes, and then boom, it all falls apart and he's going to Penn State. Yeah, man, optically, this is not fun for Oklahoma or anybody involved with the program.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of feel almost like I'm a little bit to blame for the hype just because I brought up the big name, you know, circa right after.
Well, look, you were correct. Oklahoma did end up getting very, very close to hiring Jim Knowles.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, the hype was going to get out of control. Like, the second people found out that Oklahoma was on the verge of hiring a defensive coordinator, the likes of a Jim Knowles, the hype train was going to start rolling and there would be no stopping it. And regardless of how it ended, it's something that everybody was going to be waiting with bated breath for however long it took to learn whether or not Knowles was actually coming. So,
I get it because, like you said, Not so much the bated breath part, but I think Oklahoma fans, like you said, they've gotten kicked so many times, like just over and over over the last. And it's weird because they had the 10-3 season, right? You and I talked about this the other day. Like they yeah. had that season where they were a few plays away from being undefeated. After the 6-7 season, where they were a few plays away from being, what were they? The two losses, like 10-2 or 11-2 or whatever that year, however you wanted to play it out, in 2022, because of missed field goals or whatever. It was like every Oklahoma gets so close over the last 2 or 3 years to being where they feel like they need to be, and they just get knocked down. Even this past year. At Missouri with the fumble, right? Like it, something bad has happened over and over and over. And this was a chance for OU fans to sit there and go, yeah, we're still the big dog. Yeah. Bad things have happened, but things are on the up and up. John Mateer, you know, they've got the number one quarterback in the portal. They like things are still moving up and up, and the rug got pulled out from underneath Oklahoma. They were the only team going after Knowles until they weren't. and that was always going to be the case the second it got out that he was looking around. So it sucks. Optics suck. But they still have Brent Venables, Parker.
They do.
And now, he is one of the better defensive coordinators in all of college football, regardless of what position he's at.
Well, and moving ahead, I think the one question that I would float your way, because it's a question that's fair to ask and it's a question that's on the mind of a lot of OU football fans right about now is, shoot, is Brent Venables capable in a pivotal year of effectively managing the responsibilities of a head coach with, at this point, likely being the defensive play caller as well and taking a large degree of responsibility for that unit in particular?
And we're talking during the game, because during the week it's going to be Brandon Hall and Westwin. If you know, once he gets announced, or if he gets announced as the analyst or whatever position he's going to end up with, I say analyst. Obviously, Toby Rowland came out and said analyst. We reported analyst last week on OU Insider VIP for those that aren't on there. It's been out for a while that OU was moving in that direction for him, but. Does he want to go from a DC, a playoff DC, to an analyst? I mean, that's the other, you know, rub there a little bit. We'll see how that plays out. And then they're going to have, I said, Todd Bates, Brandon Hall, you know, Wes Goodwin potentially, Jay Valai. Like, those guys are going to be the ones putting and whoever they probably get at linebacker coach, right? Like, putting everything together, the game plan, and then Brent Venables goes and calls it. But you're wondering, like, in game, is he going to be able to manage the clock correctly and not be focused solely on the defense and pay attention?
Because I think that's what everybody's worried about at this point.
The
reality of Venables calling the defense is not a concern to a lot of people. Like, they are fully confident in Brent Venables' ability to call a defense. Mm-hmm. It's the little things that have kind of slipped through the cracks on game days. Over the past few years, people are worried about whether he's going to be able to handle that stuff while calling a defense.
So why not just do what Marcus Freeman does? He has a literal game management coach sitting behind him at all times that has like the analytics and the percentages. And he sits over there and he says this, this, and this. We've seen it on the television, right? Like, he'll turn and look to the dude and he'll go, all right, let's go. Go for it. Why not do that? It takes the emotion out of it. But the thing is you have to abide by those analytics. You have to abide by those percentages. Can Brent Venables do that? He's an emotional guy. Can he keep the emotion out of the equation as far as making those decisions? And I think that's a fair question everybody's asking. I don't know. I don't know that answer. The only thing I do know is that the defense will be good as long as he's calling the plays. The offense should be good as long as John Mateer is back there and Ben Arbuckle is calling the plays. I think you feel pretty good about that. It's just the little things, like you said, the fourth and ones on your own 45-yard line. Do you have the momentum? Is the percentages? Is the analytics? What's all that look like as far as going for it? The field goal kicking, like all of there's so many things that go into being a head coach on game day that it takes a true, what type of mind would you call Lincoln Riley and Kirby Smart? Because they've done it for a long time. I mean, they did. Glenn Schumann obviously calls the defense for Georgia, but originally that's what Kirby Smart was doing, all of it. But I guess analytical minds more, they're just different. And I think the question right now is if that's in Brent Venables' wheelhouse. He's a smart guy, obviously, mm-hmm. being as good a coach as he is, but he's an emotional guy too. And that's where the questions roll in. Is emotion going to overtake the decision making? And I can't answer that, Parker. We're going to find out.
Yep.
Because that's exactly where this is headed, right? He's going to be calling the plays on Saturday as things look right now.
Nate Dreiling, you think that's the guy?
Again, I think he's a leader in the clubhouse. Another name that was brought up on OU Insider, or at least I hinted towards the name for over a week. I said, look, there's a name out there. He's got connections. His dad is a longtime Kansas high school football coach, and he knows Brent Venables very, very well. The family knows Venables well. They're all from that Salina, Hutchinson, like all that little area up there. And so it makes sense from a relationship perspective, as far as like where he knows the staff really well. I know he's friends with several of the staffers, but so is Wes Goodwin. And I think that's interesting. Like, I think OU fans would prefer Wes Goodwin because he was a DC in the playoffs last year. He knows Brent Venables' defense like the back of his hand, the same as like a Brandon Hall and all that. So that, to me, that makes sense. But Dreiling was an interim head coach. He's coached at Oregon, right? Like, he's been a coach at Oregon. He's been a coach at Kansas. He's not a big name. He also recruited Michael Boganowski and at New Mexico State, and was one of the reasons why New Mexico State was even in it.
Well, that and the fact that
Boganowski's dad went to New Mexico State. But I mean, yeah, but you get it. Like, the relationship was there. Like, you're still not going to go to a place that there's no relationship. So he understands recruiting big time players to an extent. He's young, he's up and coming. There's a lot of people that think very, very highly of him, from what I've gathered. The optics of going from Jim Knowles to Nate Dreiling is not exactly. Going from Jim Knowles to Wes Goodwin is a easier pill to swallow.
Well, and the problem,
you know what I mean? Like,
the problem is Jim Knowles. Like, the problem in that equation is Jim
Knowles. Yeah, no.
Because let's consider this. If Jim Knowles never comes into the equation, if no one ever knows that that was even a possibility, if Jim Knowles never reaches out to Oklahoma and expresses interest, you're going Zach Alley to Nate Dreiling in everyone's minds. And Zach Alley's resume prior to being hired as the defensive coordinator at Oklahoma, not all that different from Nate Dreiling's resume.
Correct.
In fact, it was actually shorter. So, correct.
Definitely doesn't have a head coaching experience in there either. Mm-hmm. Alley didn't.
So Zach Alley to Nate Dreiling feels like less of a step down than Jim Knowles to Nate Dreiling. But it is going to be really, really hard for Dreiling to come to town and live up to everyone's expectations of what they feel he should be, just based on the reality that he feels like the alternative to Jim Knowles. You know, he feels like the backup plan to Jim Knowles, the guy that they hired because the Jim Knowles thing didn't work out.
Yeah. And I expect, either way, the decision that's made, or whoever it is at the end of the day, there may be more names that pop up that we'll have on OU Insider VIP. I don't know yet, but right now it feels like it's a Dreiling, Goodwin kind of, those are your two options, right? And again, it feels like it's trending towards them pulling the DC from Arkansas State, who just got there, mind you. Everybody's going to go look at the defense at Arkansas State and go, they were awful. Well, he didn't coach them last year. So there's that. He was the interim head coach at Utah State, and he got thrown in there having no
experience. That was kind of a toxic situation there.
An awfully toxic situation that he got thrown into. He just thinks he's going to be a DC at Utah State. And they're like, yeah, guess what? You're now our interim head coach.
Yep.
There you go. So he's now the DC at Arkansas State. Just got there relatively like a month and a half ago.
Yeah, it's been like a month.
Yeah, so if that is the case, you know, he's probably going to take that linebacker slash co-DC job at OU over Arkansas State, which makes sense. If not, I mean, and again, it feels like it's trending Wes Goodwin to analyst. Now, I am not saying Wes Goodwin will not end up being the linebacker coach. I'm just saying that's where things felt as we record. That's where it kind of felt. And we'll do some more digging over the next day or so. If it doesn't, the hire doesn't get made, but I feel like this thing's going to be moving pretty quickly. I just know that Wes Goodwin was, or at least contractually, starting to move in the direction of the analyst last week. So there's that. So about that junior day.
Yeah, let's go
there. Nobody wants to talk about it. I guess we will. We're kind of burying the lead on the junior day if we don't discuss the whole, you know, Bo Bentley offer right before it. And Jake
Oklahoma's in the market for a second quarterback. How about that?
Yeah, so that had to have some explaining to do, obviously, to Jaden O'Neal. From obviously talking to them about it, there was some questions they had when they showed up to Norman. And Oklahoma did a sufficient job answering those. Look, Jaden O'Neal's the guy. And they made that clear to Jaden and his family. His dad basically said, look, you're our guy, but you got to have four or five arms every year. Like, you can't just have two or three. And with the fact that Mateer could be headed off to the NFL after this season, you're then stuck with Hawkins, New, and O'Neal, and that's just three arms. So it makes sense, and it made sense to them. They said after watching practice and seeing how, you know, there's a quarterback that's dinged up, and he's obviously not going through practice right now. And it's not John Mateer, just so everybody knows. And I guess workouts, I guess not practice workouts is what I'm talking about. Not going through workouts. So they got to see all that, and they it just kind of registered on them like, hey, okay, yeah, you do need more. Yeah, it's a numbers game at the end of the day. And when I talked to Jaren O'Neal, Jaden's dad, yesterday, he kept saying it's a numbers game, and that's what we had to wrap our heads around as a numbers game. And look, at the end of the day, if you're going to take two, like Bo Bentley and Jaden O'Neal played on the same 7-on-7 team for a little bit last year. So there's if you're going to do it, at least you got guys that know each other. So that's good, right? There won't be any angst. It made sense. But you definitely don't want to lose Jaden O'Neal because
no.
He is one of the better peer-to-peer recruiters. Like, he is like Caleb Williams, like esque, Jackson Arnold esque when it comes to peer-to-peer recruiting. Like,
and he's been very vocal about his own recruiting, about his recruiting efforts, and, you know, been present at Oklahoma time and time and time again to help recruit his peers. And, you know, you give a lot of props to a guy like that, you know, and make sure that he feels valued, he feels loved, because, man, he's spreading the love.
Mm-hmm.
He's spreading the OU love to everybody around him. everybody that he interacts with, everybody that he visits alongside. And yeah, he's certainly somebody that you don't want to run off if you can avoid it. Now, with that said, I really like Bo Bentley's game, man. Got the chance to see him at the Navy All-American game in San Antonio. That kid can play. And if we go back to Jet New for a second, I will say some of the early returns that I've heard on him, and, you know, they haven't put pads on yet, so it is what it is. But even so, there have been some folks that have told me, oh, Jet New looks pretty good. Like, Jet New got some life in that arm.
Yeah.
He's not just he didn't just show up and make everybody immediately fall under the belief that, okay, Arbuckle just took this dude for the sake of depth. He'll be gone in a year or two. And look, who knows? The reality is a lot of quarterbacks, probably more so than any other position, will wind up transferring at one point or another for playing time, right, most specifically. But the early impressions of Jet New, some of them that I've heard have been strong. So that's encouraging. Bo Bentley, though, I think similar to Jet New in that regard. If you're able to land him, especially as a second quarterback in the class, Brandon, that's not your run-of-the-mill depth guy. That's not a guy that I think is just going to sit there and take up space. Now, whether he would play eventually or not, again, that's so far down the line, it's tough to project because you don't even know what Oklahoma's quarterback room is going to look like 2 years down the road. Heck, 2 years ago, what did it look like? Dylan Gabriel, Davis Bevel, and a freshman Jackson Arnold. That's a far cry from where we're at now. These quarterback rooms evolve rapidly. But Jaden O'Neal and Bo Bentley, man, to land those two in the same class alongside one another and to be able to have them compete, not only with one another, but to push the older guys in that room. Hawkins, assuming he's still around. New, assuming he's still around. Maybe they overlap for a year with John Mateer if he doesn't bounce to the NFL a season early. I just think that's going to be a really healthy dynamic for what should be a very exciting quarterback room.
If Mateer doesn't leave, does, I mean, it,
you,
at some point, Hawkins,
yeah, something's
got to
give.
Yeah.
Something's got to give.
Yeah, that's rough there. But again, well, I mean, the good thing is Hawkins will, he's going to battle it out with John Mateer, and I'm never going to give anybody just outright starting position, right? Like, I think we all expect John Mateer to be the starter just because it makes sense with his understanding of the offense and all that type of stuff. But I think the growth that Hawkins has started to make is exponential and big in the fact that he's going to take, but it's always that year one to year two jump that is like the biggest, and he's going to make a huge, huge jump through the spring, through the winter, through the summer workouts. So it's not just going to be a given, but let's just say it goes chalk, right? And Mateer ends up being the starter and he stays healthy the whole year. That gives you some leeway to redshirt Hawkins and give him that year back, which in turn could help if Mateer decided, you know what, I'm going to stay one more year at Oklahoma. I'm going to get that guaranteed money. And it wouldn't be great for Hawkins, but at the end of the day, it also wouldn't, it would be like you, it'd be a wash, right? Like, cause you redshirted. So OU has some wiggle room there. Look, you can look at the 2024 season and how it played out, and it sucked. Outside of the defense, it sucked, but it gave OU so many options offensive line-wise. It gave options now for Hawkins moving forward. If Mateer is that good where Hawkins doesn't have to touch the field to redshirt and get that year back, like there are some positives that you didn't want to happen are still on the table, right? Like, they're still there. So, yeah, there's a lot of interesting aspects with that QB room. I think Bo Bentley's a good player. I'm a fan of his. To me, I've seen Jaden O'Neal multiple times, and he was so good at the combine, the Navy combine. I mean, there were people talking that some of them were saying he was better than Faison Brandon, right? Like, there were people saying that. Like, he looked better than Faison Brandon that day, but Faison Brandon was the number one player in the country. He got the overall MVP because, look, we can both say this, and I think everybody admits it. There's a political aspect to some of these camps sometimes, right? Like, the sure. bigger names always, yeah, right? Like, we all get it. then he followed it up with that 7-on-7 where I had a few people call me that no connection to Oklahoma, no nothing, and they were like, dude, that Jaden O'Neal cat is a baller. His arm is ridiculous. And they were shocked that he was an Oklahoma guy. So I think you get that, and then you hear the buzz about Bo Bentley, right? And how at Salina he has just gotten better and better and better. And last season he grew so much during the year that he had a magical season. Let's just be honest. Let's call it what it was. That would be a really good get for Oklahoma to have both those guys. You definitely would add talent to the QB room. You know, you got O'Neal, but if you can somehow pull off a Bo Bentley, who is a diehard OU fan, grew up a diehard OU fan, wanted to go to OU his whole life. So let's from an NIL perspective, you've got Jaden O'Neal, who's going, you're probably going to pay, right? Like he's the Jackson Arnold, he's the Caleb Williams, he's the Michael Hawkins of that class. There's going to be some NIL there, right? Then you've got the Bo Bentley, who it doesn't matter who offers him. It feels like Oklahoma is where his heart has been at for a long time. It doesn't mean that's where he's going to end up, but you have a chance to get a guy that would notoriously cost a lot more money for maybe not as much money, right? Just because of the fact, I mean, potentially.
Fan factor.
The fan factor.
Powerful thing.
It is a powerful thing.
Worked in OU's favor with Michael Hawkins, too.
It most certainly did. It's a win-win for Oklahoma. Again, I go back to the relationship, the fact that they did 7-on-7 together, that they know each other. There's not an angst there, and I think that's good. And you're never going to get angst from Jaden O'Neal. As a matter of fact, they said, bring on the competition. And I think if you're an OU fan, you love hearing that. That just shows you the type of player Jaden O'Neal is, by the way. Yeah. He brought in two wide receivers, by the way. Elite wide receivers, mind you.
Yeah, Jabari Brady, Daniel Odom. And you had Alger Miles and Mason James on campus, too.
Correct. So. Yeah, that was stupid. That was a stupid talent wide receiver group. That
feels like Emmett Jones is going to have himself a good, solid haul, even if the haul itself doesn't consist of guys exclusively from that group. Because, I mean, you have Davian Gross in the mix.
Yep.
That's a guy that's very high on Oklahoma. You have Jaden Warren down there at Iowa Colony High School outside of Houston. That's a big Oklahoma guy. Emmett's cast a broad net. He always does, man. And I'll be interested to see who jumps first, because I don't think we get through the spring without at least one wide receiver commitment.
Can I make a prediction right now?
Yeah, go ahead.
Daniel Odom. There's something there. I shocked the crap out of me. And this show, I want everybody to understand this. Jabari Brady didn't even, by the way, let's just talk with Jabari Brady first. OU wasn't even in his top 10. And he shows up on a visit. And I ask him yesterday, I get him on the phone. So Jaren O'Neal calls me. They're at the airport. And he's sitting with Jabari Brady, Daniel Odom, and obviously his son, Jaden O'Neal. He's sitting there. He's like, you want to talk to all three of them? I said, please. Kill three birds, one stone. Love it. So he just starts handing the phone down. I get to do my interviews with him. So Jabari goes, man, I didn't have OU in my top 10, but I love it here. The fact that my guy Jaden O'Neal's going here makes it a lot easier. They're obviously on the same 7-on-7 squad, whatever. I can't remember what it's called. But he said, in the next few weeks, I'm going to get all my officials set up, and Oklahoma's probably going to be one of them. And they went from not being in my top 10 to one of my officials. Now, unfortunately for Oklahoma, as Parker and I discussed yesterday on the phone, I'm pulling my notes up from my interview. Here's Here is the other schools that stand out outside of Oklahoma: Oregon, Ohio State, Missouri, Florida, Miami. Money, 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 money. NIL, NIL. Now, I think after this season, Oklahoma's probably going to throw more NIL at wide receivers than they notoriously did because they don't want to go through that all over again. But if I was going to pick between the two as far as where things land, like I said, Daniel Odom, and that's because those two, Jaden O'Neal and Daniel Odom, they play 7-on-7 together now. They've played on the same football team since they were 8 years old. Daniel, spoke forever about that on the phone yesterday, about how they won title after title after title, and that's who he wants to play with. But he is going to be setting up an official visit to Oklahoma and going to try to get back again this spring. So that's the other interesting part about all of that. So
we have a future cast, Brandon. Not from you, not from me. We got a future cast this morning from our own a national recruiting analyst, Sam Spiegelman, and it's a significant one. He likes Oklahoma to land 4-star defensive end Kevin Ford Jr. out of Duncanville. Now,
I told you.
Now, I am not as confident as Sam, to be clear. I am not there with the prediction.
Parker and I have talked about this forever. We've debated on this.
I am not as confident, but I will say this. That would be huge for Oklahoma for a couple of reasons. Yeah. One being that, save for Colin Simmons, Kevin Ford Jr. is the most talented edge rusher that Duncanville High School has fielded in years. And secondly,
Oklahoma, save for Colin Simmons. What about who was the other one that was there that was really big? Oh, my gosh. He went to Ohio State.
Oh, Amari Abor.
Amari Abor.
Yeah. No, I think those Ford's better than Amari Abor.
Fair enough. Okay, go ahead.
So it's huge not only because KJ Ford is really, really good,
mm-hmm.
but also because it gets Oklahoma back into Duncanville.
Correct.
I mean, the only OU coach, and I know some people hate him, man. I know some people think he's incompetent or whatever, but the only OU coach to crack Duncanville in the last decade is Bill Biedenboe with Savion Byrd. And that's it. That's it, Brandon. Duncanville, it hasn't been the complete ofer that DeSoto High School has been. Mm-hmm. For Oklahoma in recent years. But they've struggled. They have struggled to land Duncanville talent.
Yep.
You go down the list, there are way more guys. And there's a bevy of guys. Amari Abor's one that comes to mind. Caden Durham's one that comes to mind. You can go on down the whole list.
He did it
right?
to himself, though.
Dudes right? that Oklahoma was close with,
yeah.
but couldn't quite land. And if they could close the deal with KJ Ford, man, that's significant.
It's huge. You and I have talked about this for a while. I've been on the KJ Ford bit, and you're like, I just don't see it. I just don't see it. I'm like, dude, every time I talk to the kid, he's like, Oklahoma's right up to the top for me. And I get where you're coming from because it's really hard to buy with Oklahoma's record there, right? But he keeps showing up. And to me, your actions speak louder than your words. If you're going to tell me Oklahoma's at the top and then you're going to show up once or twice, you follow the visits, right? This dude, anytime there's any sort of event or game or whatever, he's on the list and he's there. How many games did he go to OU this year? 4? He's at a lot of OU home games.
He's visited a lot.
And so he loves Oklahoma. This Chavis is killing it when it comes to recruiting a defensive end. I think we all can agree to that. But Emmett Jones is the key at Duncanville because his relationship with the Dallas coaches. And OU has leaned heavily on that. I talk to everybody and they're like, Emmett Jones gets us in to Duncanville, period. Gets us in to Sauk, period. Gets you in to DeSoto, period. That's the guy that gets them in because of his relationship, the fact that he was a legend high school coach in that region. That's how that's worked. And that was one of the main reasons why he was hired by Brent Venables to begin with, was make sure we're in all the top schools in Dallas, and he has lived up to that part of his hiring. So, but Chavis has done a really, 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 really good job with Ford and his family. It's been actually remarkable, Parker. Mm-hmm. Every time I talk to KJ, he is like, man, I can't wait to get back. I can't wait to get back. And you just hear it in his voice. So the fact that a future cast, I never had the balls to put one in because I just thought it was ridiculous for me to be the first one to do it from Duncanville. But I've long said I thought Oklahoma led. And that's interesting. They got to hold, but you got to hold serve, man. You still got 12 months to go before national signing day. So
I will say it's an encouraging sign when you get a national guy like Sam Spiegelman that's out in front of the charge with regard to Kevin Ford potentially landing at Oklahoma, as opposed to the OU Homer media, right?
Correct.
It's the OU Homer media that's sitting here and telling you, still a little skeptical, but Sam Spiegelman, man. National recruiting analyst Sam Spiegelman thinks OU's landing KJ Ford. That's significant.
How long do you think Mason James holds out in Caden Jones? I'll say this about Caden Jones real quick because I talked to people yesterday about it. I think he's doing a good job of putting up a front of wanting to get out of the state. Mm-hmm. I don't know that he does at the end of the day. I'll say that.
Robert Meacham all over again. He picks Tennessee on signing day.
Yeah, but Robert Meacham wasn't a legacy.
Yeah, no, I'm just...
And not just a legacy, very, very, very popular legacy with his dad being who his dad is.
Mm-hmm. I've never seen Caden Jones landing anywhere but Oklahoma when it comes down to it. And
he's trying.
I think he winds up a Sooner. I think Mason James winds up a Sooner. I've had future casts in for both those guys for a long, long time and feel dang good about them, especially after this past weekend.
Paliete Primus.
Puleleite.
What?
Puleleite.
Puleleite.
That is correct.
Wow. Puleleite Primus. We talked for a bit. He goes to my brother's church. And so we were talking about that a little bit. My brother was a pastor there for a while. Now he's in the oil field. I don't know if he's still pastoring on the side a little bit, but, he's going to Arizona State after this, loves Dillingham. And that staff, naturally, why wouldn't you? Kenny Dillingham's a really good recruiter. He's a really good player or coach. He's a really good person. But Oklahoma's in a really good spot for Primus, man. Yeah. Like, he loves Oklahoma. He loves Coach Beanbo. That is the one, like, if you were to point towards the soul mission or whatever's left of it, he's one of the guys that it's like still working with, like in a big way, because that's just who he is as a person, man. He's such a good kid. Caden Hall, by the way, out of Florida, top 150 kid, safety. Oklahoma's in a good spot there as well. Like, and go ahead.
No, I'll just say we should probably abbreviate this recruiting talk a little bit out of fairness to subscribers at OUinsider.com. Yeah. But I will say this. Brandon mentioned Caden Hall, a guy that Oklahoma's sitting in surprisingly good position with out of Florida. There's another one that I just posted intel on this morning, and there's a ton more intel coming out of the weekend at OUinsider.com. But there's defensive end from down in Alabama that's already lined up his OU official visit for the Champ U barbecue. That's always a good sign right there. So Oklahoma made moves, man. This was not as broad of a junior day as some of the ones that they have had in years past. They really kept it to the best of the best, top targets. Mm-hmm. But, man, even some of the kids that you would not have expected to really walk away with phenomenal impressions of Oklahoma, they walked away with phenomenal impressions of Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Very successful weekend for OU on the recruit.
Yeah. Jaden O'Neal, again, I go back to that. Like, he was one of the big cogs of that. Like, he went around and talked to everybody I talked to was like, well, I loved talking with Jaden O'Neal. Like, he was really working me, trying to get me to Oklahoma. Like, he did a really good job of trying to get in with a bunch of those kids there, get some FaceTime with them, and he's going to try to build the best team he can around him. And he's not just talking offense. Now, granted, offense is probably going to first and foremost on his mind, but, like, he fully understands the defensive side of the ball is just as key. But I think at Oklahoma now, like, because it's such a flip towards what it was at during Lincoln Riley's tenure, like, it was such offensive-minded that the offensive guys, the quarterbacks, had to really go focus on the defensive guys, right? Like, the defensive staff at Oklahoma are such good recruiters that you don't have to do that. And their defense speaks for itself that you don't have to do that as much. So he's got a chance to really focus in on that offensive side of the ball more so than previous quarterbacks. And I think it's going to pay off, or at least it feels like it's paying off already in a big way, actually, with some of the top targets. So anyways, I think that's good, right? We're good here.
Let's call it. We got a live stream tonight.
Yeah, we're going to live stream tonight. If you're not a member of OU Insider VIP, make sure you are on there. Like, we've stayed ahead of everything as far as, the video, the screenshots notwithstanding, a pre-recorded, whatever. Like, we still never said that it was happening. That was our fault, though. Like, we screwed up, messed up, our bad. We apologize on that mishap.
Take the L, move on. That's what we'll do.
But we stayed pretty ahead on all this. You know, Knowles, Goodwin, Dreiling stuff. Like, we've been ahead of all of it. So if you're on OU Insider VIP, you know it's coming. If you're a college student, email us OUinsider@rivals.com. We will give you OU Insider for $11.95. Send a promo code to you. You'll get it for a whole year, $11.95. OUinsider@rivals.com. If you are a teacher, if same thing, you have to email us from your .edu. You got to email us from your teacher account. You got to email us from your active duty military account, OUinsider@rivals.com. We will send you a promo code. So you get OU Insider for a whole year. Give us a try. Otherwise, $9.95 a month, $99.95 for the whole year. It's worth it. It's a really, really busy site. It's fun. We answer all your questions. We do chats. We put up notes. We're always talking to you guys, joking around with you guys, having fun. It's a good time. OU Insider VIP. Subscribe to this YouTube channel. Subscribe to whatever podcast. Give us 5 stars. Give us thumbs up. Make sure you're ready for whatever we drop. Live is tonight, Monday, 8:30. Hope to see you guys there. For Parker Thune, my name is Brandon Drum. You guys have a blessed day.